Call to order. Executive committee meeting, Newcastle County Council, February 24th, 2015, 4 o'clock. Council present, Smiley, Kilpatrick, Powers, Street, Cartier, Hollins, Sheldon, Weiner, Diller, and Retta. I'm Chris Bullock, and a very outstanding aide is here, Anthony DeFerry.
Motion to approve the minutes of February 10th.
Second, second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. I've been asked by the chief of police, he has to go somewhere. He would like to address this body. I need a motion to go out.
Motion to go out of order for purpose of hearing, please.
All in favor?
Aye.
Guys, have it, chief.
Thank you, Mr. President. As many of you may have heard, there's an Amber Alert for a three-year-old that was taken out of our jurisdiction. With the help of the FBI and our detectives, the little girl is safe in Massachusetts. We are flying a detective up there with an FBI agent and a victim's advocate. Today, we will be bringing the little girl home. Her father is, of course, being arrested for the strangulation of the mother and the abduction itself. So that's why you have to have people in the FBI.
Thank you. Thank you, chief.
Thank you.
Motion to return to regular order, business.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Ayes have it. Agenda item number 3R15-049. Consenting to the appointment of Erlinda.
Yep.
Papili to the Newcastle County.
Papili,
I'm sorry, Linda, my friend.
You should ask me.
To the Newcastle County Planning Board. Councilmember Dill, I believe she's in your district.
Yes.
Linda is here. No, could you?
We're missing a chair.
Well, you never have enough. If everyone's here, we don't have enough chairs.
Cartier, would you oblige?
This table's not big enough.
Thank you, Council.
Whenever. Let's see, they sit there.
Ms. Papili, thank you for coming.
Thank you.
And I apologize for pronouncing your name correctly.
Okay, and let me introduce myself. My name is Erlinda Papili. I've been a 35-year resident of Windy Hills, represented by very capable Lisa Diller. I'm here to serve at your pleasure, and hopefully I'll do a good job.
Are there any comments or questions for this highly qualified Councilmember Diller and Councilmember White?
I would just like to say that Ms. Papili is an excellent constituent, and she always lets me know when there's noise in the neighborhood, which is great. So I'm so glad that you've offered to serve, and welcome aboard.
Thank you.
Mr. White.
Thank you. Ms. Papili, my name is Bob Weiner. I'm very pleased at reviewing your credentials. You worked for a distinguished attorney, previous attorney's law firm. I'm just going to make a few remarks, which you probably know already, but it's pretty much standard, and that is that please take the opportunity to review both procedural and substantive law. Please ask the attorney assigned to the planning board to engage you in continuing the legal education for the case law that applies, and I know that you'll be a great addition. There's another paralegal on there from Fox Rothschild as well, who's serving with distinction as well.
Mr. Cartier.
Thank you. And I want to thank you for volunteering to serve a very controversial and difficult advisory committee of Newcastle County Government. And I just wanted to stress to you that many of the land use things that you'll consider will be of a, have no controversy associated with them, will be rather straightforward. But there'll be other ones that are highly controversial, and I can tell you that, speaking for myself, can't speak for other members, but I value the advisory opinions of the planning board regarding the major controversial land use opinions dealing with certain proposals, and carries a lot of weight. So it's a very important job, and I think that by looking at your resume, you'll bring the dedication and the analytical skills to that are needed in a very important advisory committee.
Thank you, Mr. Carter. Joining us is Mr. Tackett. Any other comments or questions for our candidate? Mr. Wyatt.
Yeah, I had inquired and had learned that Ms. Papilli will be filling the shoes of a gentleman who served us for 24 years. And certainly before me and before Penrose, and he's just asked to come off the board after all these years. And, you know, I think he's from Middletown.
What's his name?
Bobby McDowell.
But I would encourage you to do a resolution in his honor and give him the 24 years of service to us.
Does that work?
Thank you.
They don't come out of service.
Thank you. Appreciate you coming.
He has to come on.
We'll vote tonight.
Yeah, but how
Agenda item number four.
They come from different districts.
Oh, it's R15-051. Approving revised position description for police sergeant, senior police sergeant, police lieutenant, senior police lieutenant, police captain, police major, deputy chief of police, and chief of police pursuant to Newcastle County Code Section 26.03.05.
So there's nobody south of canal.
Is there someone from the administration? I see our HR director.
Help me, Ross.
Christine Dunning, Chief Human Resource Officer.
Thank you.
As you're aware, before council, any pay grade 28, even a minor revision, it has to go before you for approval. Recently, Human Resources worked with the police department. There has been minor revisions all the way from officer all the way up to chief of police. But in particular today, the pay grade 28 and above, it's mostly housekeeping items we call in HR. For example, in one of your class specs, it says data processing terminals. They don't use them anymore. Okay, so it's been a while since these class specs have been revised, and they were overdue for that. Some other things with the class spec, which is a little bit different. The minimum qualifications for the eyesight, that had to be changed too, and that's council police training driven. And the last thing is the deputy chief of police and your major. Anyone applying for that position has to have at least a rank of captain. They're like the little minor changes with these class specs. No financial impact on this.
Thank you, Ms. Dunning. Council, anyone want to weigh in? Comments or questions? Councilman Hollins.
It seems to me to be similar to what we dealt with in our last meeting. And I know that at the last meeting, there was, I believe, 7 votes that got that through. So this seemed to me here to be pretty much the same thing. It's just a revision of the position description. But I don't know how challenging it's going to be tonight, or if the last time we met was any indication of that. Hopefully, if there are questions, we can try to resolve those to the extent that we can while we're here, as opposed to having another 45-minute meeting later on tonight. Because last week, the agenda item had a similar piece of legislation that was didn't pass readily, if you will.
Councilmember Smiley.
Yeah, I would agree, Councilman Hollins, except that I actually believe this is to a lesser degree than the one we had last week, you know, eliminating language for things that we don't even use anymore. I mean, that's just, you know, common sense. And again, this says there's no fiscal impact. But no, I would agree, as I did last week, but like I said, I think this is even less of an impact than last week was. There's no job description, real change in it. Yeah, I agree.
Anything else to council? It's done.
If you choose, I can pass around the revised specs, and you can notice in the red if the council wants to look at them, because it compares the old and the new. So if there's any question or anything, they can see the minor changes.
Okay. It's a little late now, but I just proffer the phrase, no good deed goes unpunished. To offer more information.
Any other comments or questions? Thank you, Ms. Dunning. Thank you, Ms. Smiley.
It's only if you read it is it transparent.
Agenda item number five, ordinance 15-006.
We have that.
Amend the pay plan and rate of pay for classified service and emergency services personnel, represented by the Delaware Public Employees Council, A1, American Federation of State, County, and Municipal Employees Act of the American Federation of Labor and Congress and Industrial Organizations, AFL-CIO, Local Authority 3911. Mr. Snyder.
Yeah. Unlike the last one, this one is different. And I'm going to raise a concern I have. Had it 2 weeks ago, I guess, the snow cancellation, so I keep track. Nothing against the members of 3911, nothing against emergency services. My concern is this legislation, which is scheduled to be voted on tonight, 15-006, states in the fiscal, the funding to meet the additional expenses in FY 2015 will be needed to be added to the Department of Public Safety's budget by the last quarter of this year. Any additional funding for these expenses would either be found through salary savings within the budgets of other departments or through appropriation of reserves and or revenues. Tonight introduced will be ordinance number 013 to amend the pay plan and rates of pay for non-union classified service employees. Additional funding would either be found through salary savings within the budgets of other departments or through appropriation of reserves and or revenues. Tonight we will introduce ordinance number 15-014. Additional funding would be found through salary savings within the budgets of other departments or through the appropriation of reserves and or revenue. Quite honestly, for me, the fiscal notes are totally unacceptable. It's a catch-all. It's like the administration's throwing everything against the wall, and then we'll pick where to get the money from, and council will have no say in it. I believe you're drafting these, you know what you're doing, you ought to be able to pinpoint the funding. I got a real problem. We have other departments that are low in staffing that have funded vacancies. We pass these with that type of language. There's nothing says the administration can't walk into code and say, okay, we need funding for this department. We've got these three pieces of legislation approved. We're pulling the funding for three code enforcement officers out of your department. This council has nothing to say about it. This is me. I'm talking about me. I think this council deserves, should expect, and demand more definitive fiscal notes. My problem, that's all I'm going to say on it.
Thank you, Councilman.
I hope.
Thank you. On both this and the last, again, as and the future ones coming, as I've said over and over and over in this last fiscal year, that there's a time and a place for these to come, and it's not in the middle of the year. I don't care that they come before us, but I believe the enactment date has to be the beginning of the new fiscal year. I see no reason why we continue to entertain these in the middle of a year after we have put the budget together.
Like minutes ago, that were online.
Is that
canceled?
Christine Dunning, Chief Human Resource Officer. Please note that these were changes. The five new positions were from contract negotiations. It was ratified, voted from council, and signed by the county executive's office. I believe that at that time they were partially in negotiations, were still going on, so they would have not been able at that time to project it and put it into the budget, last year's budget. As far as budget impact, we do have the chief financial officer here who probably might be able to answer better some of your questions if there's particular details.
Put it down 10 minutes ago.
It's my
This council didn't negotiate those contracts, but the contracts provide that these must be implemented
357
in this fiscal year. Not, I understand they need to be discussed and negotiated, but they must be implemented. That's what the contract states. That's what I'm asking. I'm sorry.
I'll put the contract in front of me. There's a subsection on page 54 in local 3911 says Provided this agreement is ratified by the union by July 1, 2014, the county shall submit recommendations to add the positions of paramedic, senior corporal paramedic, senior sergeant, senior telecommunicator to police, senior telecommunicator to fire and EMS, and police and senior public safety operator to the pay plan. Which they did this. The county shall submit its recommendations no later than January 1st, 2015 to the Human Resources Board, followed by the submission to the County Council. The county shall develop the class specs and establish criteria for promotion with consideration of recommendations from the union. If the union ratifies this agreement after July 2014, the county shall submit recommendations to the Human Resource Advisory Board and County Council to implement in fiscal year 2016.
16.
Right. If it was ratified, the agreement was ratified after July 1, 2014.
Which it was ratified.
My understanding was ratified before. I mean, I can probably provide you with a copy here. Or
mm-hmm. That'd be good.
Could you do that?
Yes.
Some of those dates didn't make sense.
But I do know, and I think in the resolution, I think it was in December when we were able to get all the class specs that went through the Human Advisory Board. But let me get some copies for you.
I appreciate it.
Councilman.
And that part aside, even if the administration negotiated a contract to place this burden on them to put them in effect during this year, I'm still uncomfortable that the fiscal note is as haphazard and as broad-based as it is. I think the finance department, the administration, not the people affected in the bargaining unit, but there needs to be a more definitive understanding of where the funds are coming from. I am not comfortable with approving anything that runs the risk of another department being gutted of funded positions in the middle of the year. Because quite honestly, we were promised during the last budget hearing that the land use department would be filling some of those funded vacancies for the code enforcement and everything. Not only has that not happened, the administrative personnel has gone down. So there's funded vacancies still there. So, again, I understand all that, but I'm not comfortable with the fiscal note. It's too broad for me.
Yeah.
Councilmember Dillon.
I would be comfortable with the fiscal note, well, with a section 4 that says additional funding for these expenses would be found through salary savings within the budget of public safety, where it's very clear as to where the salary savings need to come from, although I do not know if we can offer that as a floor amendment.
Anyone else want to weigh in? Councilman Weiner.
I think you can.
I would like to hear from Finance Department to comment on the comments made by Councilman Smiley.
Mr. Koop is in the room. That's been a request to hear from you, sir.
My Koop Finance, sorry, I was out here. Tim Boyle. One thing I could say from some of the things I heard, the fiscal note is there to describe the fiscal impact. It does describe the fiscal impact. Some of the language that's being used is being used because that's the language used in the past by the people that the staff did work up the fiscal notes as far as how they would be paid. But the fiscal note itself is explaining what the fiscal impact is.
What is the specific fiscal impact?
Does it give you an actual dollar?
Can we clarify? Mr. Koop, if I may.
Mr. Smiley.
Yes, sir.
The concern is not with the fiscal impact. The concern is with the broad-based latitude the administration is seeking to fund that fiscal impact. And, you know, it has not been the common practice to throw everything against the wall to where it will be funded from the funding out of other departments or here, or here, or here. That's the concern. The concern is not the fiscal impact. fiscal impact is a concern. Here today, more of a concern for me, since I broached this subject, is no definitive place to fund that impact. I apologize, Councilman Weiner, if I'm on your toes, but you're over there looking. I wanted to make sure we're on the same page of what you're looking for.
But I've always been under the impression that this is the language, because it's never been fully said that they would find savings throughout the budget. If savings do not transpire by the end of the fiscal year, within a month of the fiscal year, that's why the ordinance would have to be forthcoming to appropriate funds for the service.
Thank you, Mr. Cooper.
Exactly.
Councilman Bell has joined us, by the way. Mr. Bell?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. I guess, you know, from past knowledge of finance and the county government as a whole, is that I don't know that it's ever been so specific when it came to savings, when it came to being able to utilize budgetary savings, as to it has to come from a particular department. And that would be my question or concern that's raised, because administratively and financially, their responsibility is to take a look at the overall budget of county, that to take a look at what's been appropriated, where there's savings and everything. And I think it's pretty much been the norm through the years that you know, when you look at savings overall, that savings have been utilized across the boundaries of departments and whatnot. And I may be wrong, but I don't know that it's ever been so specific that it says that if you're trying to accomplish something, that you've got to spell out that it must come from a certain department or a certain portion of the budget. And could I have some clarification of that? I mean, from past practice, is it the budget as a whole, or is it so specific that it says that if you're doing something in a department, that all the funding must be, whether they're savings or whatever, that it must be administered from that particular department? I can't remember it ever being that specific.
Mike Cook, Finance. No, I don't believe it's ever been that specific either, but generally, you know, maybe 50-60% of the time the funds are available within a department. We're just trying to identify that public safety, the funds aren't available, they may not be available. Funding would come through savings from other departments, which has been the practice in the past years also.
Councilmember Dillon, Smiley, and Cardi.
All I know is that if you work for the state of Delaware and you want increases for personnel and you get the pass through the system, you don't get those increases, one, until the beginning of the next fiscal year, and two, you have to have the money in your budget in order to do it. And so I don't understand, you know, at this point, I really think that as council, we need to call for some accountability as to how this money is being pulled from other budgets. I mean, if that's the wording, let's change it.
Yeah, I mean, let's recognize the fact that according to the fiscal note, we're not even looking at public safety for these funds. We're not even looking within that budget for them. If you've negotiated this, you sent it to HR, they've gone through it, you're now bringing it to council. To me, it was just a responsible thing to have already evaluated the departments and be able to say where the funding is coming from. That's it in a nutshell. I'm not saying it has to be one, but I think we ought to have an idea. I mean, let's be honest, somebody's got an idea where they're gonna pull the money from. Whether it's all coming out of reserves or wherever, but somebody's gotta have an idea. I mean, I really hate to think that this county is putting forward three ordinances for increased spending, increased wages in the departments, and has no godly idea where they're going to get the money from. I mean, maybe it isn't in the other departments, but it seems to me that evaluation should have been made by now, and if we're going to take it out of reserves, we need to know.
That's Councilmember Cotty.
Just echoing some of the concerns that have been brought to the table to kind of give another a perspective. I mean, currently in the county government, I know we went into this fiscal year budget with funded vacant positions. Do we have an idea now where that number is currently, funded vacants? And that, you know, we're talking about, you know, identifying, you know, savings or expended funds. What is the amount of funded vacant positions currently in the government in this fiscal year? Do we have anybody who can give us an idea of that?
Could finance. You asking the amount of positions?
Funded vacant positions currently?
Over
100. Over 100 funded vacant positions.
The latest vacancy report.
And those funds have not been encumbered in any way to meet other expenses?
No, I can't say that. Those funds, some have. Some departments who end up with covering
I know that there are departments that you know, members of council are very concerned about in terms of lack of staff, and you know, are we making progress in those departments? I don't really know.
Yeah. HR can answer that, please.
Yes, Christine Dunning. I know there has been, and talked to the GM Goldring, a concerted effort, especially with land use, that we have over the past 3 months have filled a lot of their major vacancies. They had a lot of planners who all came on at the same time, and now we have those in place. So, especially what I did, when we look at vacancies, I like to look at ones that are going to affect customer service. And that is one department that we have to really concentrate on.
Yeah.
Yeah, cool.
Councilmember Kilpatrick.
Thank you. First of all, maybe we need to look at how we do our budget. Again, if you want to go back to the state level, they set a budget, they set bond, and 6 months later, they go back and they review it. And so then January, they go back and they review it. No new money is put into that. But at that point, you would have the ability to move money around that you knew was vacant. But it's, again, an open public hearing process. If in cases like this, we take public safety, and the public safety ordinance says the money can come from any other department. So we then, to fund the extra in public safety, take it out of special services. But we haven't deauthorized that funded vacancy. So next year's budget cycle, we're going to have that funded vacancy that they will keep within their budget. But now we've got the money that we took out of there to move over to another department. So they now will need a bigger budget in the next budget cycle, because they have just upped the salaries because of all the new descriptions of positions or pay grades or whatever it is that they're coming for in the middle of the year. I think our process is broken. And I think that rather than saying you can't write it this way, because quite frankly, I remember pieces of legislation coming across for pay rates that said, and this will cost us $4,820. So they were very specific, and departments would come in and say, we haven't filled this vacancy, it's been vacant for 9 months, that's the one that's going to get us through. And our discussion would be, then if you really haven't filled it for 3 years and 9 months now, why don't we just deauthorize that and move it over, and it becomes the new position. So I think that our process is very broken. I just cannot imagine that any other government believes that it's okay to come with pay rate changes every few months. We had one that was probably not 2 months outside of the beginning of the fiscal year. When they come in September, and we've just finished a budget cycle at the end of June to start July 1st, there's something very wrong in people's thinking if they believe that they can come back to this council and just say, anytime you want money, oh yeah, and you should just fund us because we're good people.
Customers, I'm not casting any aspersions on anyone, but do you have the signature page to this contract? When was it signed? I'm just...
I don't think there's actual date that it was actually signed, but it was before July 1st, 2014.
Please state your name.
But we don't have a name.
Ken Dunn, President, Local 3911.
Yes.
It does have a date that the signatures were affixed to it, but it's signed by Thomas P. Gordon, myself, and Councilman Ewan Francis Fowler.
So there's no implementation date. I mean, I'm just trying to clear it for me.
Well, the implementation date is obviously July 1st, 2014.
But that could be retroactive. I mean, I've signed contracts in February that were retroactive to July 1. So the date of the contract being in a full force and effect would have been July 1 retroactively, but I didn't actually sign a reach agreement until February.
Right. This contract actually covers the period of July 1st, 2013 through July 1st, 2015. This part of the
contract. I'm looking for the date of ratification. Mm-hmm. Is what?
Right at that ratification. Was in June of 2014. I can get you an exact date if you need.
Exactly. I know if I put on my union hat and I'm arguing in front of an arbitrator, I know I'm making the intent that it reads the county shall submit its recommendations by no later than January 1, 2015, the Human Resources Advisory Board, followed by submission to Newcastle County Council. The county shall develop class specifications, establish criteria for promotion with consideration recommendations from the union. Period. Then it goes on to say if the union ratifies, which you already know, but from my own head, if the union ratifies this agreement after July 1, 2014, the county shall submit recommendations to HR and county council to implement in fiscal year 2016. So the assumption that we're to make is that if it's ratified before 2014, that it goes into effect 2015, because it's actually silent on that, where it's not silent on after the fact.
May I speak?
Yes, please.
The assumption was, if we ratified, well, it's not an assumption, it's a writing, prior to July 1st, 2015, if the union ratified, then the county would do exactly what they said they would. They would develop the class specs along with input from the union, and they would submit it January to the HR Advisory Board, which was all completed, and then submit it to council for approval. These pay grades are over pay grade 28, so they need approval.
Okay.
So the assumption is that somewhere between January 1st, 2015 and July 1st, 2015, that these new positions would take effect. Some of them will, because there's some people eligible for them, some of them will not take effect.
Yeah, and the reason I say assumption is because it's very clear what fiscal year takes effect in after July 1, 2014, if it's ratified.
Right.
But it's not made clear prior to. So I'm just clearing that on the table and on the record for me. But again, my concern goes to the broad-based fiscal note. Right.
And I can't really speak to
the
Packer note. I can tell you that it was a negotiation process between the county administration and the union. Went on for months and months. This contract, which you all voted on and approved, which this was in, this section is in that contract, was voted on last year and implemented. Wow. The reason it had to be delayed is because there had to be a period of time where HR and the union could get together, develop the promotional opportunities, develop the class specs.
No.
And this was all done in good faith.
I understand that. And even if I read this before I voted for it, it wouldn't clearly tell me that it was going to take effect in FY 2015. But again, that's really not my issue. I'm just trying to wrap my head around, you know, the fact that it doesn't say that it should take effect in FY 2015. And even if it is, I take you at your word when it's done. The fiscal note, to me, is the issue. I can't believe that this is coming forward and somebody over there in finance administration, whatever, really doesn't have an idea where the money's coming from. See, now the idea where the money's going to come from when they give people promotions and everything. So that's, again, unfortunately, you're caught in this web.
The way it was explained to us is that we need a ratification of your contract. So this, as I said, it was an incentive for the union to get it done prior to July 1st. which we did, in good faith, between all the parties involved. If we dallied on and continued to negotiate after July 1st, then obviously these new ranks, these promotional ranks, would not have been substituted after FY 2016. So there was some incentive, obviously, to the union to get things over. We had already talked for months. It was a tedious, long, I'm not going to say drawn out, but productive negotiations with the county district.
Thank you. Council, anything else on the ordinance 15-0? Sorry. Yes?
Larry Tan, Chief of EMS. To reiterate what the president was saying is, yes, it was an incentive clause. The way that was written was, if they were going to move this forward and we're going to be able to ratify prior to a deadline, and then the county in turn would be forward with processing the positions and doing exactly what we're doing here. And the idea was that it would be implemented faster and they were willing to ratify. But if they missed the cutoff, then obviously everything would be delayed. Go through a different budget process, but that is exactly why it was that I put in that clause.
Councilman Fitzpatrick.
Well, with retirements within the department, is the money available to carry you through till July 1st on this? In other words, if his problem is how it reads with the departments,
now it's his problem.
Well,
his concern.
Okay, so if that's the issue, do you have money within your budget to fund this between now and July 1st?
Sorry, Dan, Chief of EMS. We typically, from a budgetary standpoint, normally in the fourth quarter of a fiscal year is when we're able to do an assessment of what we're going to have available as surplus or not. I know that the Public Safety Fiscal Unit is monitoring expenditures on an ongoing basis, as we all are. Part of our issue in EMS is that because we're so short-staffed, because a good percentage of our workforce is in a training mode and not able to fill vacancies, we've seen an increase in overtime expenditures that we also balance within the savings as well. So it's probably too early in the fiscal year for me to be able to answer that question.
Jeff Miller, Chief of Emergency Communications. And just for clarification, as it relates to the communications shop, only two of the positions would be eligible for immediate increase, and all the rest of the senior positions in every working area, the call taker section and the dispatch section, it would take at least 4 years, because we wrote that into the class spec, that they would have to be a telecommunicator too before they would be eligible for 4 years, before they would be eligible for the senior position. Currently, we have no telecommunicator twos. We expect those to start taking place from career development in the fourth quarter fiscal, probably 25% of our people. So fourth quarter, 4 years from now, 25% of our employees will be eligible for senior.
Again, let me clarify. My issue is not with the number of people. Don't know how many. Don't know Peter, Paul, or Mary. The issue is that the broad-based. To be honest with you, I wouldn't like it. I'd be much more satisfied had a fiscal note come across saying the last quarter of FY 15, whatever funds are needed will be drawn from the reserve account, and then, FY 15, and the next budget, it will be budgeted in. It would have been much cleaner. I mean, our administration keeps telling me we need to spend down the reserves. Now we want a broad opening to gut other departments. So. But it's really not about the number or whatever. It's the language that's in the fiscal.
Kenny Dunn.
Sorry, Mr. Funny. Just to follow up on that, Councilman Swiley, I understand what you're saying, but I really add one more piece that would be necessary.
Do you see my comfort level go up? Not at all.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Ken Dunn again from Local 3911. For clarifications, the contract was ratified on June 26th. 2014 at about 20, about 8 p.m.
How many members were present? What was the vote?
I can't give you that exact point.
I figured you tapped into your database there.
Now the database is failing.
No, I believe you.
Just a little bit about this. In contract talks, we were trying to move on a career ladder that's been in EMS for 12 years. We were trying to also add on to the career ladder in the communications side, because we're trying to retain employees. Some of us have been around quite some time, and we want to move some people into supervision, and the sergeant, lieutenant, the issues in the communications supervisor, and we need to incentivize. But also in these job specs are the training, command training, leadership training. All these things were all discussed. Many hours of, I'd say, fruitful discussion on how we can do this. That's what this is. It's about maintaining the leadership. It's also about retaining the police. That's all the career ladder is for, retaining the police. And I urge you to vote for this. I understand your feelings about the finances. I urge you to vote for this, because this is something that's been negotiated in good faith between the administration.
I understand the career ladder. This council as a whole has supported the establishment of career ladders throughout the county, specifically with public safety under the co-chairs of the public safety department, and still do. I think you need, for me, I'm not saying this, I'm one vote. Okay? The will of council will be the will of council, but there's two more of these in 2 weeks. You need to talk to the administration. The fiscal note needs to be clear. That's it. I'm not saying that it's got to be two from here, but it needs. It's just too broad for me. I want to support it. I want you to be able to get it done. And I would hope, if it's decided to table this tonight and come back, that the administration would work it so that none of your members are adversely affected, and those that would have benefited from this in the next 2 weeks would still benefit. But there actually, I would think, would be some money in there for that. But
thank all of you who have weighed in on this. There's nothing else on agenda item number 5. Sure. Seeing nothing else, we'll move on to agenda item number 6. Executive session, a strategy session conducted by Office of Law regarding recent notice of potential litigation. I move that we enter an executive session for the purpose of being briefed by the Office of Law regarding recent notice of potential litigation. Is there a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Ayes have it. Everyone please leave the room except counsel to counsel, county attorney, my aide. Thank you so much. First time hearing that one. Less is more. Please come in. You can now open the doors, of course, and no votes were taken. Other, anything under other? Mm-hmm. Mr. Bell.
Thank you, Mr. President. The other day, there was a press conference held in regards to the violent crimes that have occurred throughout New Castle County in different areas of the county, the most recent being the murder at the community center and Rose Hill Community Center. The president, President Pro Tem, Councilman Street, myself, and Councilwoman Kilpatrick attended. And I can tell you that hearing the parents, the family, speak of their loss and how it's impacted their families and everything, never experienced anything like that.
Oh, very bad.
Sorry, take your time.
And get a little choked up the other day. I think we ran out of tissue boxes out at the press conference. But the bottom line all this is that we have a very serious life safety issue in this county. that has become an emergency to this government from the standpoint of these recent crimes bleeding out from the city out into the county. And we are not the city. And I think that we as a government not only have wholeheartedly supported and backed our police department, we've worked with the administration backing our police department, but what was held the other day was extremely creative, very proactive, and I think that what was communicated by the executive office was not that council had approved anything, but the executive office actually gave credit to council's support of the police department, its leadership, and that it gave everybody the impression that we had actually provided $10,000 in funding towards a grant for information and reward. And so I thought that from the standpoint of including council, our presence, and the message that was sent by the county government as a whole, including this council, what was said at that press conference, and that we kind of have talked and thought a little bit since that press conference. Jay and I, as co-chairs of public safety, have communicated, and this has all transpired just since the press conference, but we've taken the opportunity to communicate our thoughts with President Bullock and President Pro Tem Hollins, with our two finance chairs, Councilman Smiley, Councilman Cartier. And so what we're asking this afternoon, we were kind of scurrying around a little bit in between meetings, was that after meeting with our finance chairs and President Pro Tem, we come up with the need to introduce an emergency ordinance tonight. And that ordinance, based upon the approval of this council, would take $10,000 from our contingency fund and marry it together with the other $10,000 and provide a $20,000 fund to seek information to try to get information to try and resolve not one, not two, but many crimes, murders, to be in fact. And I think the thing is that I think we should all recognize that we need to do something now. We need to take and send a clear and present message, and I think it was sent the other day, but I think it ought to be reinforced by this council, is that we are a government of one. We are the Newcastle County government. We support our law enforcement professionals and the manner in which they're attempting to solve this problem. And I think the message needs to be sent loud and clear to the thugs that are out there carrying guns that we simply aren't going to tolerate this in Newcastle County. And if this fund helps to provide one bit of information that would help us to solve any one of these crimes, it would be money well spent, and I think it would hopefully help prevent some of these tragic occurrences from further occurring in the county. There's no guarantee, but I think the problem that we face is to allow this thing to fester and not take a very strong and proactive approach, you know, could come back to haunt us worse than what it's doing right now. And Jay and I are here in executive session to ask for consideration of council to transfer $10,000.
Thank you, Mr. Bell.
And we do have, and I want to thank and recognize Carol and Jim Boyle, because in a very short period of time, with the recommendation of the financial chair, we were able to pull an ordinance, an emergency ordinance together that could be acted upon. And as Carol reminded us that even if we were to enact this tonight and pass it and transfer the funds, that you know, it's only good for 60 days. That at the end of the 60 days, we would have to make sure that we enact, you know, another piece of legislation that would keep that money there.
Do it the next year.
But so that's kind of where we're coming from. I'd really like to give before we ask for a comment or even a vote.
Yes.
I think Jay should speak to it.
Y'all, forgive me for being emotional, but I ran for office. Two things on my agenda, primarily education and stopping the violence. And I don't see a whole lot of progress. Last Monday, I got the call. I go out to Rose Hill. I got there mid-afternoon, stayed at 6. I wanted to make sure I didn't interfere with police operations. But, you know, I kind of served as a mentor to the director and the deputy director, my former director. I wanted to talk to them. And went back to my center at 7 o'clock. I walked in, my current deputy says, Mr. Street, you know, that's one of our former summer youth workers. And the only reason I didn't break down at that hilltop with her, because I didn't want her to break down. So it hit home in more ways than one. Two, you know, I came out of school 1974, they made me executive director. And the rule was, it's funded for a year, you want to keep your job, you got to keep it funded. Well, first 2 years, the big boys was on the job training, they let me in the room, but I didn't get to participate. But the super board at the time, and the players, my mentors, when it came to Rose Hill and whether or not it was going to close, they let me play. So I'm in the room with Reverend Moyer, Lou Lucas, Lou Redden, and watch them fight that fight to keep something there in that community. I'm not going to act like I was a big part of it, but they finally let me talk and I could participate. And ever since then, until this government built PAL, that was the only thing left in that community after they closed the schools. So for this for this person to walk in that community center and do what he did with children and seniors there, we don't stop this. I don't know what we're ever going to stop. And I know I went back to Hilltop, left the city in 1995. January 1996, I got two teenagers in Rockford Park, dead. When you go to the first funeral, and I will never forget, every time I go to a funeral, I'll never forget that mother's wail standing over top of her son. The problem is, it was 6 years before we got the person who killed them two. And he was already in jail for killing somebody else. I don't want that to happen again. Situation, my neighbor's son was murdered, and the murderer knew there was a witness, knew there was a girl. He's running loose on the street. He comes in town, shoots the girl. At that time, Mayor Baker and I weren't getting along. I went on Channel 28 on Sunday night and said, enough is enough. He needs to come off the street. Don't let the mayor's office transact any business anymore. Have your mother, your brother, your cousin, everybody call and tell him to put up some reward money. He put up reward money that morning on Monday. Then Executive Coons matched that money that afternoon. Tuesday night, he was in jail. So I know it works. On the other hand, boy goes in Rose Gate. He killed the boy in the circle, and he sprayed the circle.
and he sent a message, said, I'm in charge, we're in charge. Then Police Chief Rick Gregory, I called him every morning and every night. But that person stayed on the street for 6 more months because they didn't want to take him off the street till they were sure they were going to get a conviction, and he had shot some other people, and I don't want that to happen again. I want him off the street. If we've got 10, Crime Stoppers got 10, and whatever the exec's going to do, $30,000, my better judgment tells me he comes off the street and he doesn't hurt anybody else. But it's a message needs to be sent. Not only are you not going to commit murder in Newcastle County, but you're not going to walk into a community's only safe haven and ignore the presence of Head Start children, ignore the presence of seniors, and still be walking the street. So that's how I look at it. And I appreciate you calling me because it wasn't my idea, because I'm about out of ideas. And I'm sorry for all the emotion, but there's some things you need to be emotional about.
Thank you, Councilman. Mr. Bell.
The ordinance is drafted, emergency ordinance, we'll vote on it under the proper order of business tonight. This is not just Jay and Bill. This is all of us.
Let's weigh in, Councilman Cartier.
I'm not going to go on any length. My utmost respect for Councilman Street and Bell and this effort, and I support it. And when it comes to public safety and stopping murder, as far as the county government, all for one and one for all. I have 2 unsolved homicides in my district, and I understand the grief and the consternation and the destruction that it causes. So I think it's a good thing we're doing, bringing forward tonight for a vote, and I hope we all get on board and support it.
Councilmember Smiley.
I don't want to be redundant. Needless to say, I support it. I have 3 unsolved murders in my district in the last 9 months and growing. Just for business, don't mean to make, not trying to make light of this, but for those that will review this tape, Councilman Street and Councilman Bell spoke to the president and pro tem earlier, spoke to the co-chairs of finance today. That's only 6. So we're not violate somebody's always looking for something. So I just want to clarify that as a point of business. But to go a step further, I would ask, if they haven't already decided it, the administration consider making this fund a permanent resource of Newcastle County and include the appropriate funding in the next budget coming forward. Again, I spoke earlier about everybody saying spend reserves. Well, let's spend it where it needs to be. Let's spend it helping the people that needs their home fixed. Let's help it finding justice for those that deserve justice. So I send that message to the administration and ask, because I just think I'm willing. Let's let it come from there. But let's work it together.
Thank you, Mr. President. For those members of council who attended that press conference, I think for all of us it was a unique experience that probably none of us have never done before, to be before family members of people who were murdered, shot. I knew one of the young people, Nicholas Riley, that was one of the victims. Needless to say that the area I represent has witnessed a number of these senseless murders, and our police officers are there. Our presence there as council members, I think, reassured those families that the Newcastle County government is with them. We are supportive of them. And I really think that they deeply appreciated our presence of being there. Our county executive, our police officers, and members of the county council. So I think it was deeply appreciated. It was moving for us and appreciated by them. But I think that my appreciation goes to the co-chairs of public safety at this moment, because Now, there's a lot of talk all over the place about who's doing what, who's not doing what, and we're all doing a lot of talking. So I just think the community, there's an expectation, especially after that press conference, what are we going to do? So I think it's time for that action step to take place. So I wholeheartedly support our participation in providing this award for anyone bringing information forward that's going to lead to the conviction of these perpetrators. And it's a timely thing to do, but I think that it goes beyond what is already too much of going on. There's a whole lot of talk and very little action. So I think it sets this government apart and sets this council apart in particular, because we're willing to take this type of action. So I'm wholeheartedly supportive of it.
Yeah, and I think with that being said is that, you know, this ordinance, if we're all in agreement, should list 13 council members' names.
Absolutely.
Not just all council.
Thank you. Mr. Bryant. Director Bryant.
Sir. Director Bryant, Public Safety. First, I want to thank you, because I know you're going to... I'm confident you're going to vote in favor of it, and it can only help what we're doing. As I, things are different now. You have to think outside the box in how you deal with these folks that are committing these crimes, and that's why we did that news conference. We wanted everyone to see and feel what those families were going through, and I think at the end of the day, on the way home, riding home, it came to me that it was therapy for those families as well, because they wanted to tell their story to somebody, and it was very profound, and it cut through. If it didn't touch your heart, I simply can't believe that. The stories they told, the mother who said her son wanted to be a baseball player, and she wanted her son to be a baseball player, and she'll never, ever see him play baseball ever again. The mother talked about the daughter getting married. Who's going to walk her down the aisle? So that's why we did it. We can only hope and pray that we get some results from this. I can only think that this money's going to also help encourage folks to talk about these murders that are going on in the county. I applaud those who came with the idea. It can only help. We appreciate it. We'll put it to good use. We have some of the best. An example of how good we are, we fed a little girl today. And we did it in record time. And we did it with the help of a lot of other agencies up and down the East Coast. So we know what we're doing. We're going to work hard, as I said at the end, we're going to work hard to find these people and lock them up. And if I could cause them to go underneath, to be locked in the ground, I would do that, because they don't deserve to take anyone's life. They don't. They just don't deserve to take it. So, you know, that's our position. We're going to find them sooner or later. We're going to prosecute them, and we're going to cause them to go to jail, hopefully for the rest of their lives. So, for, you know, on behalf of the public safety and more specifically police, thank you for even considering this. Thank you so very much. And I have to say this, I also ask for your support as it relates to the paramedics. Paramedics and communications. Someone said it's one team in that building out on Route 13. It's one team. And we are affected because we are one team.
Thank you, Director Bryant, and your team for your leadership.
Sir, I have to run. I'm on a commission.
You're excused.
And started at 5:30.
You're excused.
So thank you.
I want to commend our public safety co-chairs, Bell and Street, for your leadership on this issue. And I understand the motion attached to it. And I'm sensing that tonight we will be voting affirmative on this emergency ordinance. Secondly, Rose Hill is near my church. And so we felt it as well. And thirdly, I think that we're sending a strong message to the county that this is one government, and where we can work together, we should. Anything else?
Just real quickly, on a very, I think, very good note, from the standpoint of our community and our children and teachers and everything. This is the time of year that we as council recognize the fire prevention essay and poster winners from kindergarten up to eighth grade. And so rather than go down to council and everybody kind of get caught by surprise, I thought that it's a lot of resolutions, but they're very meaningful, and they mean a lot to these kids and the teachers and the family. But this evening, we were going to break it down in two groups. The posters, there's five students, five schools, and so we will be calling upon Councilman Sheldon, Tackett, and Retta to come up for the posters and assist the president, myself, and Jay with the presentation of resolutions. And then the second group, rather than try to crowd everybody up there all at once, will include, once again, Councilman Sheldon, Retta, and we will also have at that time Councilwoman Diller for Etten Hose Hook and Ladder Fire Company, and from the Newark Charter Intermediate, won a first place in the essay and everything. So, we'll announce the names and all that, have them come up and try to move it right along. But just so that everyone knows, and this is important. It's important that the district council be represented as part of this. It's our constituents, the families, the children, the schools, the teachers, your fire companies, and everything. So we'll do this.
Thanks for the heads up, Councilman. Anything else? Councilman
White. Yes, briefly, I'll be submitting a report concerning the National Association of Counties Conference, but I just wanted to share a couple impressions. All three counties were represented. We were all represented as well by our vice president, who addressed over 2,000 elected officials and gave shout outs to three of the Delaware officials which were there. It was very heartwarming. Dick Cecil and myself were mentioned, and I was proud. Also, I was proud to have been elected ad hoc parliamentarian for the Energy, Environment, Land Use Steering Committee meetings. It feels good in a cross of our country where we have such a divergence of point of view that I've been working hard over the years to try to, like others, to bring folks together, find a way to look at it from each other's point of view, and I feel good to have been recognized to do this work, and I wanted to share it with you because I think it reflects well on all of us. Those of us from Delaware are seen as real bridge makers in all the committees that we do, and I think Vice President Biden was reflective of that as well. He spoke very eloquently, very effective speaker.
Thank you, Councilman. Anything on the public comment?
Motion to adjourn.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.